Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on the postgame show. The Eagles lose in heartbreaking fashion, 13-7 in the New Meadowlands to the New York Giants. The Eagles fall now to 5-7 on the year, a game that was beyond frustrating, basically because the Eagles shot themselves in the foot on offense over and over again, ended in, I would say, fitting fashion, Gino. The Eagles defense bailed you out twice with about 2 to 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, giving the offense two drives to try to score the game-winning touchdown, down 13-7. Both drives, you are moving the ball well on the ground and through the air. Boston Scott fumbles. The defense gets you the ball back. The Eagles drive all the way into Giants territory. And then two heartbreaking drops from wide receiver Jalen Reagor cost you potentially the football on your own or on the opposing two-yard line with an opportunity to score the game-winning touchdown with about 15 seconds to go. And Gino, like I said, I think that's fitting for how this game, it's a fitting end for how this game went, considering you were the better team the whole game. You were executing on both sides of the ball, but penalties, bad decisions, I should say, on the ground on offense, and just bad passing football cost you a win against an inferior opponent. And that was 2019 Falcons, Lions, Patriots bad, right? With just game-winning catches that were not made by wide receivers. Nelson Aguilar, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside then. This time, it's Jalen Reagor. That one hurt for sure. That's those kind of losses I do not deal with well. I mean, that was frustrating.
No, not at all. And I had tweeted right before this game started, I didn't say go Birds. I said nothing else besides the Eagles have to assert their will against the Giants today. One, to show that they know how to play against an inferior opponent. And two, to show that they are taking this playoff quote-unquote run that was seriously. And you go out there and see that performance that they had today, Lou. The fitting ending of two balls hitting Jalen Reagor in the face was exactly how this game should have ended. It was a picture-perfect ending for a downright disaster of a game. On the offensive side of the ball, from start to finish, there were some flashes on the ground. But when you look at what they did in the air all day long, what they did in terms of situational football, what they did in terms of penalties at the wrong time, they got a negative in all of those remarks. They played bad in a game that there is no excuse to play bad. No. You should have outcoached the Giants coming off of a week where they just fired their offensive coordinator. Freddie Kitchens' first game, he calls a flea flicker on the second drive.
Yeah, they were terrible. No.
The Giants aren't a good football team, but the Eagles didn't show that they were a good football team today either. The defense, let's give them all the credit in the world. Defensive line looked fantastic. The linebackers without Davion Taylor came up big when it needed to. They didn't fall in regards to that eye candy. They were there when they needed to get those stops at the end of the game. Yeah. All of the cover guys outside of Steven Nelson did what they had to do today. And then you look at the offense, Lou, and we just came off of a game where you and I said for the first time we could see Jalen Reagor being the franchise guy. Today, Jalen Hurts, excuse me. Today, we're right back to the discussion of what is the future? Like, who is going to be the guy? You can't lose that game to the Giants. You can't throw three interceptions against the Giants. You can't fail to throw another offensive touchdown for a second week in a row. He's only thrown two offensive touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and he's had four interceptions. It's not all on him. It comes down to the Greg Ward drop. It comes down to the Nate Herbig hold that he had twice. It comes down to the Boston Scott fumble, the Jalen Reagor drops. The offensive line did what they had to do. Some ancillary players like JJ did what he had to do. Kenneth Gainwell came in and did what he had to do. Yep. But the game plan to not target Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert is completely asinine. not running the football on third and short situations when it is a true go situation on fourth, where you only need to pick up 2 or 3 yards, and deciding to pass it continuously, coming out of the gate hot passing when it wasn't working. That's exactly what you couldn't have done.
It felt like earlier in 2021 when you had to throw the football, when you didn't have these leads built up and you just couldn't execute against a team that, again, was not a good football team. I thought the Eagles on both sides of the ball clearly looked like the superior team. But unlike the past few weeks, Gino, you got down early. And although the run game still had their success, like, they were not the reason you lost this football game with over 200 rushing yards. But unlike in the past month, Jalen Hurts and this Eagles offense were put in situations where they were down double digits. They were not having as much success on first down through the air or on the ground. So it's set up for longer seconds. You know, there's more second and 11s, third and nines, as opposed to, you know, the third and fours that they've been killing teams with over the past few weeks. And this was the next step that we talked about this past Friday on Lockdown QB1. Was we've seen the progression with Jalen Hurts in the passing game, but it's a smaller sample size. It's with leads. It's with the run game dominating. Today, it was back to those scenarios we needed to see next. If he could be the reason you win throwing the football, and this was his worst passing performance of the season. And that is extremely discouraging, because I felt like the development over the past month maybe were signs that you could give him more and you could believe in him more if they needed to throw the ball, that he could become more efficient. But when he was trailing, when they had to throw the football, he pressed and he threw three horrible interceptions, and that is extremely disappointing. And I didn't want to be confirmed in my, you know, recent beliefs about him as a passer, but today kind of brought me back to, yeah, he still looks like the guy that made me very, very iffy about his long-term, you know, potential as the franchise quarterback. So it wasn't all on Jalen today, as you mentioned, but that was, to me, the biggest takeaway was when you needed him to be a quarterback today and win you the game, he once again couldn't do it.
When he just needed to be a player that you could win with, he wasn't even that today. He was a player that you almost had to try to win in spite of.
He doesn't make those mistakes, Gino, but like he was making Carson Wentz 2020 like errant forced throws. I mean, two of those interceptions were in the red zone that cost you 6 points, and I don't know what he was looking at in either situation.
Right, and that's just an understanding of like the game situation at that point too. That doesn't even go to the on the field execution. That's just the X's and O's and understanding that. And the throws he was making, just throwing into too high situations where you'd see like FCS college quarterbacks making these throws into double coverage where you're like, no, that ball should never even be in that window. The Quez Watkins interception, when there was a debate if it's a hold, if he stopped on the route, that's one thing. The next two were completely inexcusable. For somebody that has stood up for Hurts at times on decision-making is a negative. Execution is a negative.
Accuracy was a negative.
Accuracy was downright terrible today. And the decision to continually go to target Jalen Reagor. I mean, Sirianni's calling the plays. I get that. But you can look off that guy and target the guy who just won the Heisman freaking trophy.
Give them chances, even if there's not crazy separation, Gino. They didn't even give Goddard or Smith opportunities, even in the game, the final drive. Like, yes, Jalen Reagor should have had both touchdowns. Like, they were good throws on the money that should have set up what would have been the game-winning score, or the first one should have been the game-winning touchdown, because Reagor was falling forward, and if he brought that ball down, he's falling into the end zone. So the execution is on Reagor, but you're right. Like, they didn't give Smith and Goddard those chances enough in this football game when they're clearly your two best players, and Jalen Reagor confirmed today why you should not be giving him those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely, Lou. I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was arguably the most productive pass catcher for the most part of the game outside of any Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, which is bad. Like, that's not good. Quez Watkins came up big in some plays. Then they just decided to go away from him as well. And it just seems like the little things that were going right, they just decided not to continue on. The run game is the way they are going to win football games. We know that.
That's the reality, the one, Gino.
It is the reality. But the thing about that is, Lou, and we've talked about this since last year, since the idea of Lamar Jackson being in the NFL and this Greg Roman where you run teams to death, but when you have to pass the ball, it has to be super efficient because you're not a high-volume passing team.
Right.
And then we saw that come to fruition today. And then when they had to pass, you're in a situation where you're behind the eight ball. He forced balls into windows that shouldn't have been there. On that last drive, Lou, he could have been picked off twice. I mean, that Jalen Reagor throw still was into double coverage. If they made a good play on the ball like PJ Williams made last week, that's going to be an interception. And these things that it's like we were talking about as growth for him over the last couple of weeks,
yeah,
it goes right back down, and the floor almost didn't seem like it was there today. Like it just felt like the bottom was dropping out to an extent that maybe he is a little bit worse than just a game manager. Like he couldn't even manage the game today, Lou. He didn't manage that how he was supposed to on a lot of those throws downfield when he could have forced it. Where was your check down throw? Where was the look to Boston Scott on that wide open Quez Watkins throw where there's nobody within 6 yards of him? Devontae Smith is open on the post route in the back of the end zone, doesn't see him. Dallas Goedert was open on the throw that he threw with that interception to end the half, but he just didn't see him. He didn't trigger. Once again, like Troy Aikman said a couple weeks ago, crazy that I'm bringing up Troy Aikman's name to agree with, Jalen Hurts didn't see the field today. And that's not good when you're playing the New York Giants who do not have a good
right. That's
team.
Not the New Orleans Saints. It's not the Denver Broncos defense. I mean,
not the Chargers, any of those.
It's
teams.
Super disappointing for sure. And me and Gina will continue to get into it coming up next, guys. This is the postgame show. The Eagles fall in a devastating loss to the New York Giants, 13-7 to fall to 5-7 on the year. And guys, today's show is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simpler way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. Guys, this is the postgame show, Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. We thank you for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. I'm Louis DiBiase. He's Gino Camilleri. We're recapping a frustrating loss to the Giants, 13-7. And Gino, as we were saying in segment one, we kind of learned who this team is. Short term, we still have the same long term questions, and this game just kind of confirmed like who they are, and you know what it's going to take to make the playoffs this year, and you know what it's going to take next year and beyond to sustain long term success. Like the run game again today was incredible, right? Over 200 rushing yards. Jalen Hurts, 8 carries for 77 yards. Boston Scott, 15 for 64. Miles Sanders, 9 for 64. He had Boston Scott had a rushing touchdown as well. So the run game was efficient, and that's going to be the way that they're going to have to win games and make the playoffs down the stretch, like the team I always compare them to, and you compare them to as well in segment one, that Baltimore Ravens, 2018 offense. But Gino, again, long term though, this is something you can do short term. Like you can still get by and beat the Giants in this next game they have in a couple of weeks. You can beat Washington, who you play soon, and the Jets.
Yeah.
Yes, you can win short term, continuing that strategy. But today showed you why that can't always be the one blueprint to win. You have to be multiple. You have to be able to win in different ways because each game, there's going to be different situations. Like you're not always going to have a 2-score lead and win the ball game that way. There's going to be times where you start off slow and you're down by 10 points. You're down by multiple touchdowns. And there's going to be times where a defense just gets the best of your run game, right? And you have to throw the football. Like people say run to open up the pass, but not enough people talk about passing to open up the run too.
Right.
You have to make defenses respect you in that way. And today in that situation that I kept calling for this week to see Hurts back in that situation and see if he has now been improved enough to thrive in that spot, they came up shorter than they have earlier in the season. And that, again, is very discouraging because me and you both saw signs the last month that said, hey, yeah, obviously we both used context and said there's only 17 passing attempts on this sample size, but we're seeing some steps that maybe if they do throw 30 plus times, he can continue that up now. And right. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, when we had Mark Schofield on the QB1 show the other day, I asked him, what was the ceiling? And he said Dak Prescott. And now I look at that, I'm like, could I ever see Jalen Hurts throwing the ball 51 times in a National Football League game? Never in my life. And that's something that if you were watching any of the red zone today where the Colts and Bucks were going at it, it was a pass happy game. The Bucks had to get back into it. They passed the football. That's what happens when you're a good team. You need a quarterback to get you back into games, right, Lou? Sometimes you have to elevate the talent around you.
Correct.
Jalen Hurts didn't do that one time today. And it's disappointing. And you mentioned it on the ground, like what he can do. And I would be a hypocrite if I didn't criticize on that part of his game. I've said it about Josh Allen. I've said it about guys like Lamar. Like if the first thing you have to say is talk about the quarterback's legs, you probably have a problem.
That's like, you know, what we talk about during the draft is like, I say, if the first thing you have to tell me about a pass rushing prospect is his motor,
is his competitive,
then we have an issue because obviously that's a good thing that you want. And just like Jalen Hurts, obviously you want him to be mobile, but yeah, you're right. If that's the first thing you got to say, then my first inclination is, or my first suspicion is, all right, what aren't you telling me about him as a passer?
Right, absolutely. And we look at that Charger game a couple weeks ago, right, where we're like, oh, what would happen if he got the ball back? Well, he got the ball back twice today against far inferior defense as opposed to the Chargers. And hats off to the Giants defense, Lou. They made Jalen Hurts beat them as a passer. They were saying, run all you want, Jalen, run all you want. But when you have to throw, we're going to make you pay for it. And they did. Those guys came to play, and they were undermanned. They were out Darnay Holmes and Adoree Jackson halfway through that game. Mm-hmm. They're undermanned at the safety position. James Bradbury isn't having as good of a season as he has been. The pass rush wasn't getting there like it hasn't been all season long. And then Jalen Hurts, with seven guys in coverage, couldn't get it done. And as a quarterback, when I look at it and I look today, Lou, and I see Daniel Jones able to identify the alert call or the hot call on blitzes.
Multiple
and then I look at Jalen Hurts today, and he has no idea where a blitz is coming from, no idea where his alert call is, and his first look is to drop his eyes and run away, which he wasn't doing with much success getting outside to the corner today. It's one of those things that I don't know if you can go up from there because you're playing one of the worst defenses in football. When they played Tampa, you saw what happened. And Tampa wasn't even fully manned. Like, you play good defense, and this defense and this offense plays down to them. Outside of the Saints, who were also undermanned, I can't say that this offense has beat a superior defense this year.
No, they haven't. And again, like, I think if they played, you know what, Gino, like, here's the difference though there. Against the Saints, that is a top rushing defense that you got the best of. Mm-hmm. But again, it goes back to through the air. Have you done that? And you haven't.
Right.
And this is now, you know, Jalen finished 14 for 31, 129 yards, three interceptions. That's seven of your last eight games that you haven't thrown for over 200 passing yards. Throwing for over 200 passing yards in 2021 is not that hard. And I know the recipe has changed and they're running 80% of the time. So that's going to do it for you with the numbers. But again, it's a short-term thing. But long term, it's not sustainable. You'll always want to utilize Jalen Hurts in this way and have the run game be a main focal point, right? When you have an offensive line like that, it's like Baltimore. You know, even although they don't run like they do in 2018, in 2019, 2020, 2021, they're still running the football and featuring that with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But if they have to throw 40 plus times, they're showing this year they can do that too. And again, it's just about that's the theme of the day is being multiple on offense. Because at least, you know, on defense, you're doing that. I mean, I thought today was such an impressive day from Jonathan Gannon and the looks he was showing blitzing and also, you know, showing blitz but dropping guys back into coverage.
You see what I'm talking about with that?
Like, that defense bailed you out. I mean, when that shows the advantage of being multiple is it allows you to do so many more creative things and give the other unit different looks. And, you know, props to the defense today, man. They, on all three levels and the coaching, tried to, I mean, until the very last second, was bailing you out and trying to get you that W, and the offense just wouldn't let you have it.
Yeah, I mean, you hold a team to 13 points in the NFL, you win that game all day long. Like, what more do you want your defense to do? Jonathan Gannon, he's got to go chew out Nick Sirianni after this game.
Right, Sirianni went after Gannon earlier in the year. It's time for the opposite to happen now.
Yeah, like, it's literally the meme of the guy with the stick, like, poking him, saying, do something. Like, do anything. They couldn't do anything. And Jonathan Gannon today, his most impressive performance with a unit, Lou, that has Steven Nelson, who's a clear liability, who is down arguably their best linebacker today. They came to play, and they did everything they had to. Fletcher Cox shows up, Javon Hargrave, Milton Williams makes a couple great plays in there.
He was really good today. Yeah,
Derek Barnett, man. I mean, if he didn't do the stupid things he was doing all season long, I think his season would be getting
more recognition. He's been hot the last month, yeah.
Josh Sweat is so good, he has to be held every single play, even though they didn't call it all day long. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't have to come down to those ticky-tack things. When your defense does their job, the offense should go out and execute. We talk about this give and take with these two units, right, Lou? We talked about in that stretch where they had two games where they went six consecutive drives of three and outs or interceptions or turnovers. And they did that a lot again today. And the defense did their job. There is no balance there. It's like the defense did spectacular. Special teams still is abysmal, allowing Jalen Reagor to return the football. And the offense today, it was not even good enough to compete at the lowest of levels. Like the Giants, are we giving them credit? Yeah, a little bit on defense with their
execution. I don't want to,
but
man,
I don't. But I can't. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a good team. They're a below average team in the National Football League. That if you want to make the playoffs, and we knew that they were going to lose some questionable games this year, 5-7, they're 2 wins away from what Vegas expected them to be at. So they're going to have some hiccups. But this one, man, like the Giants didn't even look good.
No, even
they didn't look good.
You moved the ball. I mean, that's the thing, is like you shot yourself in the foot. Like that final drive to end the half. I mean, the Boston Scott touchdown negated by the Nate Herbig penalty. The dropped touchdown pass from Greg Ward. Then Jalen Hurts just not understanding the situation, holding out of the ball too long, forcing a pass to Devontae Smith in double coverage that forces an interception. You know, the interception before that on the Quez Watkins play was forced as well. Mm-hmm. It was all on the Eagles. I'm not giving the Giants credit. And yeah, I mean, I think they did come to play on defense undermanned, but the Eagles were clearly the better football team. And it's unfortunate, but yeah, I mean, again, it's they kind of are who we think they are right now. We know they're a elite rushing offense. They're very limited in the passing game, and their defense continues to do well against inferior opponents when it comes to quarterback strength. So that is who they are. And at 5-7, like you said, they're pretty close to the Vegas projection. And you know, they're going to have to, I guess, just stick to the script and be who they are this year, because unfortunately, Gino, you're now 12 games into the season and it's still the same issues and the same strength. So, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a fix during the year now. Like, I'm not saying don't give Jalen Hurts 2022, but he is who he is this year as a passer. I'm not saying to let him be the guy.
This is the thing. I wish we got closer to an answer.
Yes, and it's, because this is a very tough call now, because he's not bombing it, but at the same time, this is why we said before the season that he needs to be great to convince us. But I don't know though now, Gito, because you're 5-7, you're not going to have a top pick. The Colts aren't going to have a top pick. The Dolphins aren't going to have a top pick. So this is going to be a really, really tough call, especially
Let's play a game real quick. Let's go through their five wins, right?
Yeah.
How many of them were directly responsible wins at the hands of Jalen Hurts?
I mean, see there, I want to, as a runner, I would give the Saints.
See, and you're mentioning his legs again. We have to square one.
No, I know. As a passer, Gino, none of them.
That's what I want to, like, when has his arm, like maybe the Broncos game, like he had some good, very good throws, but in the end, it came down to how good they were rushing the football with Jordan Howard. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Carolina game, he got him back in at the end, but I'd say that was more of a Eagle situation today where Carolina kind of just shot themselves in the foot more than anything. Their wins, I mean, the Saints game, they outrushed the heck out of him, but he didn't throw any touchdown. But it's like, where where do we see him as a passer? Because I don't even know where you could see him as a passer, because today with this many limited attempts, he wasn't even efficient with the football. So it's like, do you turn full service academy mode and go to five throws a game and just hope that you can run the ball down their throat in the short term? Maybe against these teams like Washington and the Jets. I mean, even against the Giants today, you did okay. But next year, Lou, when you want to increase your potential for making a run down the stretch, do you think he could get there? Because right now,
well, you know,
I don't.
And you know, even with their unideal draft situation,
I'm not very confident
right now.
In it.
Yeah, you know, I would still rather take a chance on a guy like Desmond Ridder in the draft. I'm just saying it's, you know, with their current situation, I don't know.
I wish I did.
It's going to be it's a lot tougher of a call than maybe we thought earlier in the year. It felt like an easy decision to move on. And then the past month, it felt like an easy decision to run it back with him next year. But this game kind of puts you back in that, you know, just unknown spot. And it's a tough spot to be in. And we'll continue to dive into it for sure. We've got Locked On QB1 this week, and we'll definitely discuss it. The Eagles lost today 13-7. We'll continue to get into that matchup against the Giants coming up next. Guys, today's Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Built Bar. It's here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday, and Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed too, just in time for Cyber Monday. It's Caramel Almond Delight, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful double check. Be sure to get yours before
it tastes
gone.
Like a Werther's caramel.
Yeah,
like,
they're
it's
incredible.
That good.
And there's only 150 calories in the bar, 17 grams of protein. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack, and it tastes incredible, covered in that 100% chocolate. All the flavor, none of the guilt. So go to builtbar.com and get everything 20% off when you use our promo code LOCKED20 at built.com. That's LOCKED20, LOCKED20 at built.com this Cyber Monday.
And while you were enjoying your Thanksgiving, I hope that you put some money down on the Dallas Cowboys to lose. And I hope you did it over at Bet Online, where they have you covered all the way through the holiday season. It's arguably the best time of the year for sports right now, and Bet Online remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving through Christmas season, all the way through the new year, and all the way through the future, because it is the only platform we are placing bets. And all of our fans today can receive a 50% welcome bonus by going to betonline.ag using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON to receive that welcome bonus. It's football season. It's bowl season. You got pro and college hoops. You got NHL. You got MLS playoffs. You got boxing, UFC, Premier League action, Vegas casino games. Right now, you could go and put about a million bets down. There are so many things to do. Go to betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way for all your favorite sports action. Bet Online, they're stuffed with deals all holiday season.
This is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles fall 13-7 to the New York Giants. They are now 5-7 on the year. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri wrapping up this Monday edition of the show. And Gino, again, the theme for today, they shot themselves in the foot, right? And they were the better team, and they just cost themselves. And they kind of are who we thought they were. And, you know, that's just the reality. I mean, they're a top rushing offense. They can't really pass the ball, and their defense is playing really good. And that is a recipe right now that can get you a 6 or 7 seed in the NFC. Mm-hmm. And looking at the scores today, I mean, they are still very much in it. They're only a half a game back still with the easiest schedule remaining. But again, it's the balance you have to strike between the short term and the long term. And while short term, I'm still very encouraged about their chance to make the playoffs, my long term projection of this team still, with the way they're built, you know, and with who they have at quarterback, I feel like the short term is who they're going to be long term if they don't make it, you know, any change at that spot. I feel like this is already maybe their ceiling. Obviously, you can get better on defense. You could build around Jalen Hurts like the Cowboys did with Dak Prescott and get, you know, him your new version of CeeDee Lamb to go with the Amari Cooper and build that way and hope he takes a step in that way. But there's, again, it's like I said this week on Locked On QB1, he can get better, but how much better? Is it worth giving him more time to get better? Or would you rather go for a guy that is mobile as well, but has more of an upside as a passing quarterback? Because while you can run with the Eagles' current situation in 2021, the fact of the matter is that this is going to be a passing league moving forward, and you got to be able to do it to win games consistently long term.
And Lou, the thing about it is, I also tweeted this during the game. I said, I can see why Nick Saban had to bench Jalen in the national championship, and then why he couldn't get it done at Oklahoma. And now we're here again saying, is he a franchise guy when the two teams before him couldn't get it done with him either? You know, I mean, maybe it's just one of those things, like there's his ceiling, like there'll be a guy that could get you 75% of the way there.
Yeah, he gets you right there. And that's the most frustrating part, Gino. It's like you're close.
Right.
But and it's the same reason that teams like the Rams move on from Goff to go to Matt Stafford.
Exactly.
And, you know, the Niners drafted Trey Lance to eventually replace Jimmy Garoppolo because those guys can get you to a certain point, but you feel capped. And there's still you're, like you said, you're at 75%. And while you're not at 30%, there is still more meat left on the bones there. And you know, this game kind of confirms that.
Yeah, talking about Oklahoma, and you look at Lincoln Riley, right? And he just goes to USC today during the game that Jalen Hurts has an absolute stinker. That's kind of funny how that all worked out. But you look at even in college football and these big programs that have huge five-star recruits like Spencer Rattler, who was talked about as one of the top quarterback prospects before the season, was benched. Quarterback life in any level of football, it has to be judged in a completely different realm than any other position. I talked about the development of JJ and how, what he has done over the last 2 years, just putting his head down and working. And like, you have time at a wide receiver position when there's six of these guys on the field, right? At quarterback, there's one guy. And if you're not performing up to what a team, especially Jeffrey Lurie, who must be going bananas after this loss, where they couldn't throw the football at all today, this isn't one of those things that is going to go away, Lou. I just don't see it going away. And do you want to give him time in 2022? I mean, when you threw a bunch of plays at him earlier in the season to see if he could be a high volume passer, it didn't work. Now that you're a low volume team, it's worked to an extent. And then today, when you had to up that volume a little bit, you're kind of right back to square one where we were. And
despite last month of progress, back where you are.
Yeah, and I look at this team like as the 2015 team, right? Because that team had to get a defensive turnover or touchdown to an extent to win games. They had to be involved in special teams making crazy punt blocks and kick returns. And when that didn't work, they weren't really good on offense. Last week I was kind of thinking, okay, this could be maybe a 2017 version. And now I'm thinking, oh, is this 2015? Like, where's the consistency? There is none. And if you don't know what your team is going to be week to week, talk about an identity. Do you truly have an identity through 12 weeks in the NFL? They're a good run defense, but when they can't, or run offense, but when they can't run the football and have to pass, Lou, we talked about the differentiation between when Jalen Hurts just can go out there and pass during the run game when it's going well, but then when he has to pass, there's a clear difference in those two players. And I don't think he did a good enough job today to warrant building a team around him. You know, I mean, in Dak's first year when he takes over for Romo, right? Like everything's going well. He leads that team to the playoffs, almost beats the Green Bay Packers, who went on a great stretch down that playoff run. You saw bits of it. Like with Jalen, you see bits and pieces, but not even in the highest of volumes. It's only in, like I said, 75% of the way. Like, I don't see that 100% ceiling. Like, I don't I look up and I see like a painted white ceiling. I don't see a glass ceiling where he could break through. I personally, and I think you're there with me as well. And this isn't a reactionary thing. Like, we're taking it week to week, right? But if you don't know what it is week to week, you don't solve the question at the biggest by a huge margin, most important position in football, without a doubt. And if you don't have an answer there and you have a question, I was literally thinking, if this guy throws another interception, you might have to put Gardner Minshew in this game to have a chance. I really was thinking that. And last week I'm thinking he's a franchise guy. I don't know, Lou. I don't know where we are with him. And It's going to be one of those things that we look in these last couple weeks here. Like, I mean,
it's not going to be easy.
They could beat the Jets. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, the decision, because there is a 75% floor there. And so that's what's going to make it tough. And there are advantages, even if you don't think Hurts is the guy, for making him the guy in 2022. But there's disadvantages as well to this. And, you know, we'll dive deeper into it. But the fact of the matter is that if he wasn't extraordinary this year and didn't take those steps as a passer, I personally was going to want to move on. And the situation there, you know, at currently with the draft, makes it a tougher call because you're not really set up for Matt Corral or maybe even Malik Willis. And you have to start thinking Jalen Hurts versus that second tier, right? Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, Carson Strong. But to me, it's like, again,
buddy, Carson Strong can throw that hell out of a football.
I know the positives of Jalen Hurts, right? But at the same time, I don't know if those positives are worth giving more time for when I can find that in somebody else and more with the arm. And I'd prefer the arm. I'd rather have a guy that, you know, is Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes mobility, but he has that arm power. I don't want a statue in the pocket, but those are the problems you got to weigh for sure. The pros and cons. And again, like I said, we'll get into it later on in the show this week on Friday. We have Lockdown QB1. For now, that's going to do it for the postgame show. The Eagles fall 13-7 to the New York Giants. They fall to 5-7 on the season. Gino and I have stock up, stock down for you tomorrow. We've got our Wednesday show. We've got our crossover Thursday and then Lockdown QB1. On Friday. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get the show, and on YouTube as well, and on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Lockdown Birds, at GC24_football, and at DiBiase, LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Guys, once again, thank you for making Lockdown Eagles your first listen each and every day, and we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of LOE. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly Eagles fly.